Good morning.
Good morning.
Start up the device so I can preach the sermon. We're going to concentrate on our gospel reading this morning. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." There is a common saying which is, home is where the heart is. Well, I'm going to give you a new version. Home is where God is. Don't you think it's kind of stunning that God comes and makes his home in us? But how do we know that Jesus makes his home in us? Quite simply because he said he would. He said he would die on a cross, and he did. He said he would rise from the dead, and he did. These are the facts of our faith. So we can be sure that if he says he will come and make his home in us, he will. But why? Why will Jesus come and make his home in us? For the same reason he was crucified and rose from the dead. He loves us and gave himself for us. And he wants to make all things new for us. So how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel to know that God will come and make his home in you? Elated? Jubilant? Honored? Humbled? Scared? Concerned? Comforted? Well, before we try and sort that out, all our feelings, let's just check up on what causes God to make his home in us in the first place. And we'll come back to the feelings at the end. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, I'll come and make my home in them." Jesus and the Father are not going to come and randomly make their home in people. The first requirement to God moving into our lives and making his home in us is that we love Jesus. And God is not going to make his home in us if he's not loved. But loving Jesus is, you could say, not enough to cause Jesus to make his home with us. Because Jesus said if we love him, we will also obey his teaching. In other words, we will be showing our love for him by following him. It's easy to say to someone that I love you, but your love is only made real by your actions, by your relationship with that person. And so it is with Jesus. He wants to see our love for him demonstrated by our relationship with him. Just as his love for us is demonstrated by his actions on the cross and in the resurrection and the ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So, how is God's presence going to be made real in our lives? How does God make his home in us? Well, later in our gospel, Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." In other words, it's the Holy Spirit who sets up God's home in us and reminds us of all that Jesus has to say to us. It's the Holy Spirit who brings Jesus and the Father to us. The Holy Spirit forms a seamless love relationship between us, the Father, and Jesus. For it is when we are born anew, or again, or from above, that God initially sets up home in us. And that's when the Holy Spirit starts his homemaking in our lives, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, or from above, or anew. being reborn is the beginning. When God makes his home in our lives, when we are reborn, he immediately renews and refreshes everything. All the old dusty blinds and the curtains are replaced, the windows are cleaned, and his light floods into the dark corners of our lives. Everything is cleaned and made new, just like a worn-out house that has been renovated from top to bottom, replastered and redecorated, rewired. But what else does Jesus find when he moves into our lives? Because there will inevitably be a lot of clutter and junk gathered over the years, as well as a lot of good stuff. Anyone who has moved house recently, and I did it just over a year ago, will know how much clutter and stuff there is that we accumulate. And sometimes we just wonder why we've kept it. Some stuff we may have even forgotten that we actually even owned. It's so deep in the cupboards and the loft and the garage. There is also all the stuff we treasure, all the good stuff, the beautiful memories, the loving relationships. When Jesus comes into the house of our lives, he clears out all the clutter of our sin. But sin can leave a lot of residue behind it. Fear, guilt, difficult emotions, unforgiveness and pain. Things associated with our pre-Jesus lives that we have never dealt with. Those things we have just pushed to the back of our minds and locked in the dark room in our souls, in rooms we seldom, if ever, visit. Well, these are the things Jesus will want to clear out from our lives, the things that he might want to take to be burned. This cleansing of our lives by Jesus can be hard and difficult, yet it can be also releasing and enlivening and comforting and bring great peace. As Jesus brings light into the dark rooms of our lives. All this is part of the journey of God making his home in us. If Jesus is at home in you, he is at work renovating the house of your life day by day. Occasionally, Jesus will want to sort something in our lives that's going to be difficult and painful so that we can continue to grow in his likeness. I don't know if you've ever watched these house programs on television. Sometimes the designer and the builder will say that they want to change something, like the wallpaper. And the person who owns the house is so attached to their hideous wallpaper that they refuse to have it changed, even though it's clearly obvious it would make a huge positive difference to the house. Well, Jesus often has this problem when making his home in our lives. He tells us we must change something. Perhaps a bad habit, a hidden prejudice, aggressive behaviour, maybe a low level of caring or a low level of love or a lack of forgiveness. But we're so attached to that part of ourselves that we cling on to it. We simply won't let Jesus either remove, change it, heal it, or make it new. And so there may be parts of our lives we say to Jesus are hands-off areas, no-go areas for his renewal and renovation. Following Jesus means letting him not just live in us, but also letting him make our lives new. One thing we can be sure of with Jesus is that his desire is to make a good home in us. He wants his home in us to be outstandingly glorifying to his Father. And if we truly want to follow and be like Jesus, we cannot hold on to the locked, dark rooms of our lives. We must let Jesus in. We must trust him to make all things new in our lives. We must let go of the old us, so that the new us may not only be born again, but may truly grow to adulthood in God's kingdom. There are sometimes difficult times in our lives and times of apathy and laziness, when although Jesus is at home in us, we push him outside the front door and tell him he must sit on the step and sleep in the garage where the door adjoins to the house. Jesus had this problem with the people of the early church in Laodicea. We hear all about them in the book of Revelation. He told the Laodiceans that they had become lukewarm and wretched, blind, poor and naked. In earthly terms, they had become house rich and cash poor. Jesus said to them, "Here I am. I stand at the door of your house, and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and them with me." Jesus was asking to be let back into the lives where he had made his home. He was fed up of being on the step and sleeping in the garage. He wanted to be in their lives completely. He wanted to fill them with his grace. In kingdom language, he wanted them to be house rich and rich in his grace and presence. Perhaps you are like this. Jesus has made you his home, yet somehow you have not fully trusted him. You have kind of grown lukewarm and poor in following him. He's still there at the door of your life, knocking. You just have to let him back in fully. If this is you, why not let him continue making all things new in your life? Why not become rich in Jesus and rich in his grace and peace? I asked at the beginning, how does Jesus make his home in you, and how does that make you feel? Elated, jubilant, honored, humbled, scared, concerned, comforted? Well, as with all homes, the maintenance and renewal of our lives by Jesus is an ongoing process. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. At least that's the plan. So perhaps you are feeling that you need Jesus to make more changes in your life. Perhaps you feel there is stuff in the dark corners of your life you've decided that you want Jesus to deal with. Or perhaps you feel that you have held Jesus at a distance lately, just outside the door of your life, on the step and in the garage. Well, I urge you not to delay. I urge you to start to get this stuff fixed by Jesus. And do it this morning. Why not? Seek out someone to pray with you and someone you can trust. Because some of this stuff can be deeply personal. It can be confidential, it can be painful and deeply held, long held stuff. Particularly things like unforgiveness. And make sure that you talk to Jesus about it in your own times of prayer. Resolve now, not tomorrow, but now, to get the house of your life renewed. Be determined for your life to be rich in the presence of Jesus and his grace. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity now, John and I, to be prayed over, you could say. So if you have been stirred up a bit by the sermon this morning and feel that you are needing to be prayed over to open up your life a bit more to Jesus, then come and get prayed over.
I was just thinking, sometimes we listen and then we need to think, oh, there's something there. So I'm actually going to suggest that we just have a time of quiet first, where each of us can think about the things that Chris has been saying. I'll say some things to help us think in case that's helpful, though. If the Spirit's working differently with you, then just go with where the Spirit's going. But just while we sit first, let's just make sure that we have every opportunity to respond in the way that God wants us to today. So as you listen to the Holy Spirit, or as you sit there just ready for God to work, there may be things that you know are part of the clutter of your home in yourself, as it were, your inward home. They're not bad, but maybe there's too much of some things and you realize you need a bit of a clear out. Or it may be that as you think about things, you realize that there are some things which used to be good, but they've gone bad, like something you leave in the fridge too long. And actually, you realize that these things are affecting other things. And actually, you could really do with a clear out there to get rid of something which used to be good, but it isn't good anymore. Maybe you realize in a different way that you've got things which are really important to you, and they'll probably go on being really important to you, but you're holding on to them so tightly that you're not really willing to let God at them, to see how he might help you to hold those important things, or maybe to make some changes around those important areas. So maybe you've got some things which are too precious, you're holding on very tightly, and today the Spirit is saying, just open your hands a bit and let me have some of that, because together we can work on this so much better. And then maybe for some of you, you're aware that God has done some amazing things in your life and changed you very much. And yet somehow there's still some of the muck left around. Something has been removed, something has gone, but you're aware that it still needs to be sort of settled around it. Maybe it's a bit like changing the sink in your house and it needs to be tidied up, or changing something. And you're aware that good things have happened already, but there's more to be done. There's more to be tidied up. There's more to be refreshed and renewed. And this stuff is hard. It's hard to let God do his work, or it's hard to spot where it is that God needs to work, but it's so worth it. God's peace, his light, like as Chris was saying, cleaning the windows, opening the curtains, letting God's light come in. I encourage you to see what that reveals and to see what you would like to respond to today. I'm going to suggest in a moment that we all stand. And then if people want to, they can come forward to just have some prayer, either standing or kneeling at the altar rail here. We're not going to ask what it's about, not at all. We're just going to put a hand on you and pray that God will go on doing his work in you. And you don't have to think, oh, I know the exact big thing and it's well worth coming forwards for. You might just think, do you know, there's something here that I do need to respond to. I can't quite put my finger on it. But do come forward just as a way of saying, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to find out what it is. So this is a probably needing boldness moment. I just encourage you to take the opportunity. Sometimes our physical movement is something that kind of establishes something in us. It makes us more likely to respond. And this kind of responding is so well worth it. Allowing God to make his home in us fully. And allowing that to mean the fullness of what it should mean. So let's stand. That's where you are. And I'm going to pray and then invite you to come forward if you'd like to the front. Loving God, it is awesome that you would make your home in us. And sometimes we think it's particularly awesome because we know us. We know how there's a muddle or a mess, or just it's not as we would like it to be. And yet, Lord, we say to you this morning that we would like you to make your home in us. If it's the first time that you've thought about Jesus making his home in you, then that's a very good reason to come forward and to say, yep, I want that to be what I discover, what I go on discovering. And if you've got things that you know need dealing with, some of the stuff I've been talking about, then there's another reason to come forward. If you would just like to resolve to spend a bit more time thinking about this at some other time in the future, but you want to encourage yourself to do that, then there's another reason to come forward. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to open our homes to you, to open ourselves to you. And as we stand, we welcome you in.